CKLW Radio International News Alert, Don West reporting. The Senate, by a 76-18 vote, has approved the substance of the Civil Rights Bill as drafted by Democratic and Republican leaders. The final vote could come tomorrow. What was approved tonight was a Senate substitute for the House-approved version of the bill. It's possible there will be a last-minute effort to send the bill into committee, but the parliamentary third reading would make the measure safe from this maneuver. At this point, a day of final oratory and an assured vote are all that stand in the way of the strongest civil rights law since Reconstruction. Senator Barry Goldwater was not present for the vote on the substitute measure, but was paired in favor of the measure. Some 30 Negroes used a formerly all-white beach today in St. Augustine, Florida. All but a few whites had vacated the beach. Negroes also staged sit-ins at white restaurants in St. Augustine. 16 were arrested. A federal judge in Richmond, Virginia, ordered Prince Edward County to levy new taxes to put its schools back in operation by September. County officials shut the schools down in 1959 to avoid desegregating them. Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona claims to have 674 National Convention delegate votes, 19 more than he needs to become the GOP presidential candidate. Interviewed in Washington, Goldwater also said he would be willing to have Pennsylvania Governor William Scranton as his vice presidential running mate. Asked whether he would vote for the civil rights bill when the roll call is taken, the senator replied he hasn't yet decided. State police in Michigan have put out an all-points alert in the Thumb area to find State Apportionment Commissioner William Hanna of Muskegon. Republican members of the commission are scheduled to meet tomorrow to discuss new apportionment plans for the state Senate. Hanna is reported camping in the Thumb area with his family. Hanna's mother says her son has been gone since last Saturday and is not expected to return until Saturday. The commission must come up with a new apportionment plan by 5 p.m. Friday. The state Supreme Court ordered the commission to come up with a new plan to conform with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling handed down Monday, saying state legislators must be apportioned according to population. The government says it may close its fraud case either tomorrow or Friday against Teamsters President James Hoffa and others accused of taking $25 million from the Teamsters pension funds. A government lawyer refused to be quoted by name today, but said in these words, "There's no reason why we can't close within the next 2 days." A defense lawyer for Hoffa says if the government does rest its case this week, a motion will be filed immediately for a directed verdict of acquittal. Striking Michigan Consolidated Gas workers, their wives and children plan a march on the firm's Detroit headquarters Friday. Negotiations were scheduled to resume today. President Charles Shipp of Local 80 of the Building Service Employees Union says the march is scheduled from 7 to 9 a.m. It will be the fourth demonstration in the strike against the company, but the first in which persons other than striking workers have been asked to participate. The union is seeking wage increases for about 2,000 workers in the Detroit Ann Arbor area. Premier Khrushchev told the Danes tonight that the Russians want a truly friendly and good neighboring relations with all the Scandinavian countries. Khrushchev and his wife were on a 3-week tour of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. Their first stop, Copenhagen. Well, you can bet that Robert E. Dierstein won't forget again to kiss his 4-year-old daughter Caroline goodbye when he leaves for the office in North Tonawanda, New York. He did yesterday morning, and a short time later, Mrs. Dierstein realized that her daughter was missing. Mrs. Dierstein searched the neighborhood. While she was searching, Carolyn calmly walked into the offices of the Columbus McKinnon Corporation 4 miles away and announced to her surprised employees that her father had forgotten to kiss her goodbye. Dierstein hastily amended this oversight and then rushed his daughter back home. Here's the weather, cloudy and warmer with scattered showers tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. Low tonight, 57. High tomorrow, 80. Low Thursday night, 63. The present international temperature is 66 degrees as the Tom Clay Show continues. We'll be right back.
Friday, one of my favorite songs is done by Hugo Friedhofer in the orchestra, and it was called Theme from One-Eyed Jacks. All right? I want you to do me a favor, please, Dave. We have theater exhibitors and Electronics Institute. Give me Electronics Institute now, a station break, and theater exhibitors, and then I want you to come right back. I want you to stay with us because I want you to stay with us. That's simple enough, right? No, because I have something I want to read to you.
Here's great news for anyone interested in a space-age career in electronics. The Electronics Institute of Technology of Detroit has just published a brand new illustrated catalog for 1964-65, and it's free. That's right. A copy of this exciting new catalog will be mailed to you without charge if you will just call Woodward 2-5660 tomorrow. That's Woodward 2-5660, or write the word catalog on a letter or a postcard. Address it to the Electronics Institute of Technology, Detroit 1. Both day and evening sessions are now forming. So do some serious thinking right now about the thrilling and profitable career waiting for you in electronics, America's fastest growing industry. Get all the information you want without charge or obligation. Telephone Woodward 2-5660 or just write the word catalog and your name and address on a letter or a postcard and address it to the Electronics Institute of Technology, Detroit 1.
CKLW, Radio 8 Ohm, Radio 8 Ohm. CKLW, Radio 8 Ohm. Viva Las Vegas!
What happens when Elvis Presley meets Anne Margaret in the fun capital of the world? You're the winner!
Viva Las Vegas!
And Metrocolor!
Viva Las Vegas!
You can't lose!
Viva! Viva!
Viva Las Vegas, now showing at the Adams Theater downtown. New tween prices for teenagers at matinees and evenings at the Adams. Here, wait, I got some money. The coffee man came in. Excuse me just a minute. I got to get a cup of coffee. Da-da-dee. I don't even think I have any money. Ah, yes, just enough for a small cup of coffee. Cream and sugar. Okay, thank you. Is Foamy ready? All right, because we want to do some talking. Oh, and when you get it, just come right in, you know. A lot of people out there are very, very close to us. We never really knew how close. And if there are other disc jockeys listening or other people in radio, turn it off because you'll only get sick because you'll say, listen to that dribble again, you know. Because most of the guys that know me as a disc jockey think I'm just a clever disc jockey, which I don't think I am very clever. Well, anyway, this is going to be one of those hours, one of those tangents of soap boxes and things of that nature. We have received in the past few weeks some of the most beautiful, warm, expressive letters I've ever received in my life. In all the time I've been a disc jockey, I have never received letters as beautiful as these. I mean, really beautiful, beautiful letters. And, well, I wish I had time to answer them, but I don't. And I know a lot of people have written to me several times and said, gee whiz, I've written to you 6 or 7 times and you never answer. I'm sorry. It's true. I don't, because I haven't got the time, or I haven't had it. That sounds egotistical, but when you consider that I've been receiving somewhere around 1,000 letters a day, it's a lot. As Dave Schaefer said to me today when I came in, he says, you realize that you draw more mail every day than all the stations combined in the city of Detroit get for everyone? And I guess it's true. I don't feel egotistical about it. You know, I don't feel like, boy, I'm a big shot and all that. Everybody wants to know, how can I quit a job when I seem to have a fantastic following? You know, how can I just quit a job where I'm so happy, where the people are so great, you know, the manager, the station owner, the program director, the disc jockeys, where everybody are so good to me? How can I quit? Well, I try to explain that to you. I'm sure that no matter what I say, it doesn't really explain it to you, because I don't think it really explains it to me, you know. I don't even think I know. We've had a lot of letters from girls saying we cried ourselves to sleep. There's nothing in the world that I would do to make you cry, because I never meant to, you know. I'm an emotional cat, you know. I get very emotional, and I guess that's bad or good. It's all according to how you look at it. But I am what I am, and I can't change, you know. I wish I could. No, I don't wish I could. I just am, and I can't change. But we wanted to relate some of the things some people say. Well, like Saturday, I said, I'll be at... my last night here will be Friday night. That'll be my last show. And so I said, Saturday, I would meet anybody who wanted to say hello to me or goodbye to me at the foot of Woodward. And then I said, gee, maybe I shouldn't do that, you know, because maybe I'll get down there and nobody will be there and I'll look kind of silly. But I don't really care if I look silly or not. I'm going to be there anyway. And even if only one person shows up, I'll still be satisfied, you know. I'm not doing it to impress anybody. So if we have friends out there who would like to say a final goodbye, not a final goodbye, you know, just say so long for a while, we will be at the foot of Woodward between 11 and 12 o'clock Saturday afternoon, okay? And just, you know, come on. Well, anyway, somebody wanted to know if we felt that in the 9 or 10 months that we've been here at CKLW, if we've really accomplished anything. What were the mean letters that we get, which all disc jockeys get? And I said, yes, I think I have accomplished something. I think in some way I have been able to get across to some teenagers how important it is in life to love and not to be ashamed of the fact that they love, you know? And not to be ashamed of the fact that they can say, I get a thrill out of watching a sunset or seeing the red in the clouds and how beautiful it is. And I'm not ashamed to say, isn't that beautiful? And it makes me feel warm inside. Or not to be ashamed to hear birds singing and say, isn't that beautiful? Or to hear the rustle of trees and say, isn't that beautiful? Or to feel a soft wind blowing against your face and saying, that's something of beauty. You know what I mean. Not to be ashamed to be able to say that things like this thrill you and make you feel warm inside, or not to be ashamed of the fact that you can cry at a sad movie or want to cuddle a little puppy dog and feel his little cold nose rubbing against your cheek. And not to be ashamed of the fact that, you know. So I said, yeah, I really think that in my way I have created something. I have left the teenagers with something. And only because we've asked or been asked by so many people to do something, I don't do it for its publicity value, because there is no publicity in this value-wise. I would like to read a letter to you, if I may. It's a little letter that was written to me by a girl who called me up one night and asked me if I would do something. And I said, yes, I would. And she said that she was leaving for Switzerland to go to school, and she was very sad. And I said, my goodness, why should you be sad? How lucky you are, because how many girls get a chance to go to Switzerland? And I asked her if she would become my pen pal. And she said, would you really write to me? I said, yeah, sure. I said, I mean, how many girls do I know in Switzerland, you know? So she wrote me a letter the following day, and I'd like to read it to you, if I may. Dear Mr. Clay, this is only the first of many letters I hope to exchange with you and your wife, too. I'm already terribly anxious to send this letter, and here I am only on the third line. I've never written to anyone like this before. It is quite exciting. I hope you remember me. You sang the song People for me. I don't know how to thank you. It made me feel as though someone really cared. I existed on a night when I needed it. She was quite lonely that night. I think it was her birthday or something. She felt quite alone because her mother and father were not with her. They were in Europe someplace on business. She goes on to say, I don't know quite how to say it, but you made one of the coldest, loneliest nights of my life a little warmer. Your song was the best birthday present I've ever received. The song People keeps going around my head. The only time I ever heard it was on your program. I shall never forget it. It's always here inside of me if I ever need it. If you find one small little thought lurking in the deep shadows of your mind waiting to be thought of, please let it be me. That way, every time you play People, you can think of me and I'll know it. I remember your voice quite vividly, too. This and the song are two of my treasured possessions. These are the only kind that mean anything to me. In other words, she was quite a wealthy girl. And I mentioned that to her. I said, gee, you must be quite wealthy to be able to go like this. And she said, it doesn't mean anything. I don't understand how some people only care for things they can see or touch. All I want are things I can feel and know will be mine and only mine always. Do you think I'm silly? She says. You mentioned your wife on your program. I've imagined that she is very, very beautiful, and I could tell that you loved each other very much. I think you have children, am I right? Yes, you have got a family, and although I don't know much about families, I'm positive that yours is very, very happy. I wonder if you appreciate all they really mean. Yes, I'm sure you do. I'm sorry, she says. I had to change pens. But I'm finishing this letter on a plane. My full name is Kim something, 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 all right? Everyone calls me Kimberly, but it sounds so formal and disinterested. I would like it very much if you would choose what you will call me. And I told her I would call her Kim. That would be so much nicer. I don't know what to tell you about myself right now, but if you have any questions, be sure to ask them. I want to know all about you and your family. Promise me you'll be careful. She says, I had a very weird feeling all last night, Friday. I don't know what it was, but it felt cold and frightening. I had a dream last night, and I saw someone get hurt or something. It wasn't really very clear. And then in parentheses, she says, you know, that was the first dream I ever remember having. End of parentheses. I somehow got it into my head that it was you and your wife in the dream. Then she puts down in parentheses, there were two people in the accident. It may seem silly, but be a little extra careful, please. I think I should stop now so I can write you another letter right away. I'm very grateful to you for several reasons, and I'm very excited to be able to have you for a friend, or, as you put it, as a pen pal. I don't know where to send this letter, but I suppose you will get it if I send it to your broadcasting station. I'll find its address as soon as we land. I'm anxiously waiting to hear from you. I don't think it's proper to say that, but I am. I'll put my address on the envelope. Sorry I wrote so small on this page, but I was afraid I wouldn't have enough room. I don't ask favors of anyone, but I have got to ask you to please sing me a song whenever you get a chance. You sang People beautifully. Thank you for everything. Thank you with all my heart. Give my love to your lovely wife. Au revoir, mon ami. Signed, Kim. And that was our letter from our pen pal. There may be some out there who have just heard me read this for the first time, and they're saying, well, so what? You know, so you were good to a little girl, and the one night that she was lonely and needed something, you gave it to her, so does that make you any great disc jockey? No, not at all. We received a letter about 2 days later from Garfield Heights, Ohio. It says, Dear Tom, I don't quite know what to say. I talked to Kim the same night she called you before she went back to Switzerland to school. I've never heard her talk about anyone the way she talked about you. She thought you were the greatest guy on earth. To top it all off, you were her friend. She told me she couldn't wait to write to you. She was very happy. That's something I honestly thought Kim would never be. Incidentally, Kim was killed in the airplane that she was riding in. It was a single-engine or a double-engine plane. She died the same day that she wrote me the letter. And this letter was sent to me by one of her girlfriends. They found a letter in her suitcase that simply had on the envelope Tom Clay. And their parents called Cleveland to find out who Tom Clay was. And that's how I got a hold of the letter. She went back to school the next morning. As a matter of fact, there was no one to see her off. The next I heard of her was Sunday, when my aunt called to give the family the news and to find out who Tom Clay was. They found her letter to you with her things in the plane. She said that Kim left school that morning with one of the teachers from the school. They went in the school plane, which was one of those two-engine types. She was going to Zurich to represent her school at some sort of a language seminar. She spoke six languages, and all the teaching at school was done in French. At 6:30 in the evening, something went wrong with the plane and it crashed on a mountain. All three, Kim, the teacher, and the pilot, were all killed. So it really doesn't prove anything except that as a disc jockey, if I've done nothing else, for one moment, for one little moment, I brought love to one little girl who enjoyed a record called People. People who need people are the luckiest people in the whole wide world. If only people would start loving people.
people. People who need people. Oh, the luckiest people in the world. We're children needing other children. And yet, be a person who needs people.
People who need people are the luckiest people in the whole wide world. there are many things in the past 9 months that we have done since being here at CKLW that bring on a thought. The Beatles coming on, the Beatle booster balls, the meeting of the teenagers and seeing the love that they had for a group known the Beatles. Several things that have happened to us since we have been here. One of which I shall never, ever, ever forget if I live to be 1,000. But I think the most important thing of the whole trip that we have had is you out there meeting an entirely different bunch of people the second time around. And the only thing I can say in answer to all of your letters and all of your telephone calls as to why, and that's what I said a while ago. It's like, listen closely. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's like jumping off a 40-story building. And as you fall in 10 floors, someone hands you a bunch of letters. And during the next 10 floors of your flight, you read them. And during the last 10 floors, you say to yourself, "Oh my God, I've made a mistake."
With one person, one very special person. A feeling deep in your soul says you are half now your whole. No more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs people.
I will not mention names, or will I mention the school. We just received a call from the principal of a high school. And he said that he just heard the last half hour of our show. And he says, I was going to write you, but he said, no, I thought I better call you and tell you that it was a fantastic half hour. And we really thought you were great. Wasn't that great for a principal of a high school? You know, gee whiz, that was great. He said, we heard it, and you were fantastic.
But first be a person who needs people.
People who need people.
This is Don West with CKLW PM Sports. The Tigers and the Athletics are in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the score is all tied up at two runs apiece. In other American League action tonight, Los Angeles down Washington Senators 5-3, Baltimore over Chicago 6-1. In the first game, Cleveland edged Minnesota 3-2, and it's a scoreless tie between the Twins and Indians at the end of three in the second game. This afternoon, it took Boston 12 innings to get past the Yankees 4-3. In the National League now, an afternoon game saw Chicago Cubs defeat Philadelphia Phillies 9-5. San Francisco shaded Cincinnati 3-2. Tonight, Pittsburgh over New York Mets 3-2. And after six, a 1-1 tie between St. Louis and Houston Colts. Later tonight, Milwaukee Braves at Los Angeles for a game with the Dodgers. National League President Warren Giles is confident the league and umpires will iron out pension differences at the meeting on July 6th. Yesterday, the umpires, through spokesman John Reynolds, announced they have set back a deadline for appropriate action from July 3rd until after the meeting. Giles said today that there never has been any intention of a strike, although Reynolds had said that a strike is one way of taking appropriate action. Said Giles, the umpires want an increase in retirement benefits, and we're very glad to consider it. Their request is a matter that I am confident can be resolved to both their and the league's satisfaction. That's the Sport Report as the Tom Clay Show continues.
I just got a call from my wife and I have to do something I forgot to do. There are a bunch of teenagers, wonderful girls from Burton Junior High School who were over to my house. And they sent Paul McCartney one of the largest birthday cards you ever saw in your life. I forgot the dimensions, but it was 6 foot to 6 foot or something like that, or even more, I guess. And they received a telegram from the Beatles, from Paul McCartney. They sent it to Australia, and they received a telegram from Paul McCartney. And you know how the telegram started off? Dear Beatle Boosters. Isn't that fantastic? And he thanked him. Thank you very, very much. And so forth. And you see how great the Beatles are? As big as they are, they took the time to send these girls a telegram. Wonderful girls from Burton Junior High School. And all that jazz. My wife also just called. And, well, I won't go into that. Without a doubt, you know, I don't want to overdo it, but I have the most phenomenal woman in the world. And for all the disc jockeys that know me, and all the record men, and all the people that know me personally, know what I'm talking about, because my wife has had to go through so much with me. It isn't an easy life being married to a disc jockey, especially a disc jockey like myself, someone who is searching for the end of a rainbow and can't seem to find it and keeps moving and doing this and doing that. And for a woman, it's kind of hard, you know, because they want security, they want to be able to settle down and meet people and become friends and so forth. They don't like moving back and forth. And I guess this was the biggest shock my wife has ever had, maybe one of them, having to leave now, you know, and so forth. And she's taken it pretty bad. And she just called me up and told me, and she was crying. And I said, geez, don't you cry or I'll start crying, you know, because my wife, we both cry. We are very emotional people. And she said, it was the most beautiful line I've ever heard in my life. And I said, what? She said, when you said, oh, my God, I've made a mistake. But, well, anyway, she's phenomenal. And when I write my book, or when I publish my book, I'm going to put on the front page to the most wonderful woman in the world who has taken more from this nut than most people do. And she has. And I got news for you. The worst part of the whole thing is it isn't over yet. She's still with me. And I still have, I'm sure, many surprises in life. We've been here since September. And of all the things that have ever happened to us, and I'm sure to you, was something that happened about a month later. Something that shook the entire world. We've always maintained that teenagers were pretty fantastic or fantastic people, that they were capable of emotion, of love, capable of feeling more than just what's the latest fad or what's the latest dance or of chewing gum or wearing beehive hairstyles or short, tight pants or whatever it is. That teenagers are very emotional and very warm, kind human beings. And we were being interviewed by some teenagers here from a high school. And they were sitting here in the studio talking to us, and they said, they were just going on and on. And they said, hey, Tom, do you like poetry? And I said, yeah. And they said, here's a poem that was written by a 16-year-old girl in Grosse Pointe. And I read the first few lines, and I didn't read the whole poem. I just read the first few, and I thought, oh, hey. I said, I think I'll read this on the air, you know, and see what the people out there think of it. And I told our engineer, I said, pick out a record. And we picked out a record by Roger Williams, I believe, called The Theme from the Cardinal. I said, put this in the background and I'll read the poem. And I read the poem, and unashamed, I say, I cried while reading it. It broke me up. I tried about 10 minutes later to read it again, and this time I tried, you know, I thought, I'll read it this time and I won't break up, I won't cry, because, you know, a man isn't supposed to cry. And I read it again, and this time the engineer in the other room recorded it on a tape. And I cried again, and I couldn't help it. So we weren't going to play it anymore, but then the disc jockeys here at CKLW, the great disc jockeys here at CK, played it during the daytime. And I came on the air and said if anybody wanted a copy of it to send into so-and-so. And we received over 40,000 letters asking for copies. It has since been published as a book, a very beautiful book, too, with drawings and everything into it. It was a poem written by a little girl, Candy Gear, and it concerned the assassination of our dearly loved President Kennedy. And because we are leaving Friday night, I would like to play it for you. I don't think there's any restrictions. And if anybody wants a copy of it, I'm sure they can buy the book in their favorite shop or someplace. I'm sure they can get it. The name of the poem was called Six White Horses. And it was written by a little girl named Candy Gear. And this is the actual recording, which we have saved, and we will always save, in our house that we brought down. And this is the actual recording as I recited it some 7 months ago. Listen. Six white horses came today to take my daddy far away. Mommy said I must be good and stand as big as Daddy would. Now I'm big, so I won't cry when I see Daddy wave goodbye. 'Cause Daddy is my special friend. He always comes back soon again. I cannot wave. I don't see why. There's just a black box moving by. Mommy says I should be still. I'm a big boy now, and so I will. I hear some drums. They're awfully loud. My mommy's sad, and so's the crowd. Everyone is dressed in black, but Daddy soon will hurry back. We're going to take a walk to Mass. Then maybe I'll see my daddy pass. I wonder why we're only three. He always comes to church with me. Two men are talking, I can see. They say they're very proud of me. They say my daddy's in that box, the black one with the six gold locks. I have on a big boy's suit, and now it's my turn to salute. I do it just like big boys do, because now I have to be one too. They're going to stop and then just leave. But in that box, how will he breathe? Still, if I don't understand, with Mommy here, it won't be bad. He's going to leave and not come home. We just can't leave him there alone. I want to hear him laugh and say, John, John, come here so we can play. I don't see Daddy anywhere. I want to cry, and I don't care. He's in the ground. He cannot be. He should be right here, holding me. But Mommy said I must be good, so I'll just stand as Daddy would. If anything in the world could ever prove a point, when you say, why is it the whole wide world, not all of us, but why is it most of the world is full of hate? Why can't we just take a little more time to find love? And I'm not just talking about the love between a husband and a wife. I'm talking about the love of a friend, of a person, of a human being, of a puppy dog. I don't know why I always say a puppy dog, because they're the saddest little things in the world. I love puppy dogs. But I mean, that's just something that would typify or be typical of needing or something or wanting. I don't even know what I'm saying, you know, because, well, anyway. If in the past 8 or 9 months that I've been here, we made a lot of friends, but I mean, if we made a lot of enemies, you know, well, that's the way it goes. You can't win them all, you know. You can't pull in every hand. Some of them kind of got to us, you know. Some of the letters kind of got really inside and made us stop and think. But all the other wonderful, warm, beautiful letters that I've received from all the wonderful little warm, beautiful people. And there's something I'll never forget as long as I live. Really and truly never forget. And all that sort of jazz. Was there anything else? A time for toys in the attic, the memory of our yesterdays. I could go into my book of Cahil Gibran called The Prophet, you know, and say a few choice words from there, but maybe not, you know. Maybe not. I guess it's a time for toys in the attic, huh? That which you loved most in him will be made clearer in his absence.
A time for memories returning, a time for longing and yearning, shades of blue crowding through as I sit here remembering you. A time for wondering what happened, for wondering why did it happen. No goodbye, not a sigh. How could love slip away? I thought that you, the night, the summertime, were out of sight and out of mind. Yet here you are, the night, the summertime, still in my
play that. I just like it, I guess, you know. Toys in the Attic. When is Bill Kennedy going on vacation? I think I'll ask him if I can do his TV show. There was a lot of fun. Speaking of memories, you know, of what we've been doing since we've been here at CK. That little puppy dog we had, showing the pictures of Keen, his paintings with the big eyes, and a few other choice things. Jack Jones. We kind of dig him. We kind of dig Barbara Streisand, too. And what else? Oh, don't forget, if I keep saying this, though, you'll think I'm, you know, promoting something, but I'm not. Don't forget, I'll be, it's the only place I know where to meet you. If I could think of another place, I would have met you there, but I can't think of any other place. I'll meet you at the foot of Woodward Avenue, Saturday, between 11 in the morning and 12. All right? I'll be there for about an hour. We'll just say hello and talk and so forth. But there might be about 50 or 60 kids here, so I'll have a chance to meet all of you and talk to you. So if you want to, we'll be out there at the foot of Woodward on the lawn between 11 and 12 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Right? This Saturday. What kind of a show are we going to do tomorrow night? Because we can't do this kind of a show tomorrow night. We'll probably swing, you know? What is it they say? Laugh, you know, pretend or something and be real happy and go-lucky and yeah, yeah, baby, and swing and move and groove, you know? And all that jazz and stuff and things. Just in time, I found you just in time. You changed my lonely life that lucky day. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. Or something to that effect. Barbara Streisand, I love you madly, but I don't like you.
Just in time, I found you just in time. To go.
I love it, love it, love it. Just love that song. I wonder why. I wonder why. I don't know. It just kills me. You know, something about, ooh, wee, wow. Oh, shut up. Just play the records. I didn't mean to, really, I swear. I didn't mean to be in a mood like this tonight. I meant to, you know, just, you know, kind of swing and move and groove. But it just came out that way. Well, let's see. I found you just in time. You changed my lonely life that lucky day. Of course, that only goes to one person, you know. Doo-dee-doo-doo-doo. I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. I'm just, All right, we'll play this one. Softly as I leave you, for my heart would surely break if you should wake and see me go. And so, I shall leave you softly.
Softly, I will leave you softly, for my heart would break if you should wake and see me go. So I leave you softly, long before you miss me, long before your arms can make me stay for one more hour, for one more day. After all the years, I can't bear the tears to fall. So softly as I leave you there. After all the years, I can't bear the tears to fall. So softly as I leave you there, as I leave you there, as I leave you there.
Oh, we still have time, don't we? Well, what could we possibly play? You got a little something there? All right, go ahead.
And change my life.
Change my
life.
Somebody just called me from a record company and said that I should make a record of Six White Horses and on the other side, People, and sell it, you know, to people and give the money to charity. It's a pretty good idea, isn't it, huh? Well, I guess not, because I don't think it would be right. I just don't think it would be right to sell emotion, real, true emotion. Well, oh, one thing. I don't like you. I love you. So that makes it 17 down and 2 to go for our month of June, the year 1964. This one has been a Wednesday, a day in which 50 sounds have been round, round, and round, with yours truly, a guy by the name of Clay. Right now, well, we'll take the records, tuck them into their nightgowns, give them plenty of rest, because tomorrow will be another busy day. Hope you enjoyed, too. Three, maybe even four of all he had to play. If so, God willing, perhaps there'll be a Thursday.